Hello, and welcome to another episode of my podcast, Stepping Up. My name is Sue Reed, and every week I provide a platform for people to tell their story of how they have faced and overcome a challenge in their life. Here is today's story.
Hello, so my guest today is Rachel. Rachel is from Miami, and Rachel graduated from the University of Florida this year, having studied advertising, and she'll be moving on to do her master's at UM, and she intends to study music business. Now, at the age of 8, Rachel was diagnosed with Crohn's disease. And in 2008, following that, her mum was diagnosed with stomach cancer when Rachel was still only 10 years old. So Rachel's come to talk to me today about her own struggle with Crohn's disease, and also at the same time, whilst being very young, trying to support her mother through her very serious illness. So welcome to the show, Rachel. It's lovely to see you here.
Thank you. It's awesome to be here, and I really appreciate you having me on the show.
Oh, that's brilliant. It's lovely to have you here. So for anybody listening that has no idea what Crohn's disease is or isn't sure, could you just give us an idea of what that is and how it affects you?
Yeah, of course. So Crohn's is basically an autoimmune disease, and it affects your entire digestive tract, but it can also cause other things to be, wrong with your body, other side effects and symptoms. So I have anemia. I'm always really fatigued from it. The obvious would be I have stomach pain a lot, but yeah, it really affects just the entire digestive tract and causes just overall fatigue and stuff like that. I'm on medication that I have to take. I give myself a shot regularly, and a lot of patients require surgery from it. But yeah, that's basically what Crohn's is.
So yeah, so quite a crippling disease in effect then. And yeah. And how old are you now, Rachel?
I'm 23 now.
Right, and you've had it since you were 8, so that's a long time. And is 8 quite a young age to be having an illness like that?
It depends, because it's not something that you can just develop. It's something that you're born with. So at age eight, I was having constant, flare-ups. My stomach was killing me. My mom had to pick me up from school pretty much every day for a few months. And I was getting fevers every single night before we realized, something's up. And I got a bunch of testing done, and that's when we kind of put everything together. Well, the doctors did, thankfully, because Crohn's disease can be pretty hard to detect. So a lot of people actually will have it undetected for years at a time and have side effects and they won't know. But yeah, I mean, it's pretty young. I actually know a few people that were diagnosed a lot later in life, were diagnosed at, my age, 20, 23. But it just depends on the person.
Right. Okay. And so at that time then, your mum was still fit and well? No signs of any illness herself?
Yeah. So I was 8 years old when I was diagnosed. So I was in second grade. Yeah, second grade. And then when my mom was diagnosed, I was 10. So it was 2 years after. So 2010 was when we solidified her diagnosis and had that going on.
Right. Okay. And is it just you in the family? Do you have any brothers and sisters?
I actually have a twin brother. His name's Zachary. Oh, wow. And then I have a little sister. Her name's Sarah. She is 16 right now. She just got her driver's license. So scary.
Oh, lovely. So that must have hit the family really hard then, your mum's illness.
Yeah. At the time, I didn't really know a lot about cancer, to be honest. I was 10. So, what we learned in basic biology in school wasn't about cancer per se, but it was that cancer was a very negative, very hard, heavy thing on someone and on people, someone's family. But at the time, I remember my dad and my mom pulled my brother and I into their bedroom, and they said that, they told us, they informed us about what had been going on, and they said that she had cancer. But my parents were very, very good at talking to us about these types of things. And at the time, I remember being cancer, the big C. And I think a lot of people, referred to cancer as that. So I remember thinking to myself, oh no, oh no. But yeah. I don't remember actually fully grasping what was going on or what was about to happen. So,
yeah. And how did that affect your illness then? Did that, presumably it made it worse?
Yeah. So at the time, my Crohn's disease had been like very under control. So when I was diagnosed, they put me on a very like harsh course of steroids. It's called prednisone. I'm sure a lot of people know about, but yeah, so I was on a very harsh course of that. And that kind of like got my Crohn's under control, like initially. And then they put me on a bunch of other medications that actually kept it under control for, I think it was like 5 years. So thankfully it was under control right when she was diagnosed. So my family could put all their, you know, energy into that and into her for the time being.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So your mom's been diagnosed with a stomach cancer. And what was the prognosis for her?
So her prognosis initially was, unfortunately, they told her that she probably wouldn't survive past a few months of her diagnosis. Yeah, but thankfully, my dad's a doctor. He's an anesthesiologist, and we had access, you know, to clinical trials and the best of the best out there, even though there was very minimal, if anything, out there at the time. But yeah, thankfully, she survived for 10 years. So
wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
And what was life like for you then? So still suffering with your illness, still being very, very young, and watching your mother, I guess, decline over the years?
Yeah. So it was very, just like my Crohn's, I feel like her cancer, her battle was very up and down. And I feel like that's the case with a lot of, you know, illnesses. But over the years, hers was very good for 2 years, awful for a year. You know, it was very like good, decline, good again, decline. My Crohn's was under control pretty much, I would say, most of middle school, most of high school. I had to go switch medications here and there, but we were mostly centered around helping her for the majority of my childhood, I guess you could say. And then once I went to college is when everything started to kind of just become a roller coaster for me and for her. The time that my Crohn's started getting pretty bad was my freshman year of college. I lived in a dorm. And because Crohn's, you know, like it affects your immune system. So many people may not know this actually, but it does affect your immune system. So I was on a medication called 6-MP at the time, and it literally destroyed my immune system. So I got strep throat about 8 times freshman year. I got mono, I got bronchitis. I was just so sick freshman year. The dorm didn't help because I shared like communal bathrooms with everyone. So, yeah. You know, if someone's sick, we all get sick. But yeah, that's when mine started like kind of declining a lot. And then I actually took myself off of my medication because it just wasn't working for me and I wasn't seeing my same doctor. So I just took myself off and I got a little bit better for like a year. I was feeling better. And then junior year, so this was three years ago from now, I was hospitalized and I almost required emergency surgery. And then I was hospitalized again, same thing. I had two bowel obstructions. And then that is when I started to take my health very seriously. But in the midst of all of that, so my sophomore year is when I was feeling okay. But, you know, my mom, the year that she passed away. So that's the year that we were like extremely, extremely focused on her, especially in the fall. So from like August to December of that year.
Right. Okay. And when you were very ill and hospitalized, did the doctors put that down to you coming off your medication?
It's a really, I think, hard thing to pinpoint because I think college in general for anyone with like some sort of bodily, you know, illness or something going on with their health is tricky. But for me, I don't think it came down to that per se. I think it came down to just holistically. I just had, my body was just, you know, college, everyone drinks alcohol. I mean, that obviously affected me a little, but I wasn't crazy with the partying like a lot of my friends were. So I think it came down to, you know, my diet. I wasn't taking any supplements. I wasn't like exercising. I was eating terribly. I did come off my medication, so I wasn't taking anything. And Crohn's, you need to be on something no matter what. Like you need to be on some sort of medication. So yeah, I think it came down to that, but a bit more of the big picture type of thing.
So yeah, so it could have happened anyway, even if you had stayed on your medication.
Yeah. So yeah. And another thing is that with Crohn's, if you don't treat it, like even if you're feeling okay, like I was, you know, even if you don't treat, you're going to get scarring in your intestines. Like you're going to get those ramifications from not taking care of yourself. And so I now have a bunch of strictures and scarring in my intestines that cause the obstructions, and I have to live with that. So I'll probably need surgery soon, honestly, but yeah.
So that's going to be an ongoing thing for you then.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Oh, and then going back to your mum then, your mum didn't just, as I understand it, didn't just, you know, sit back and think, oh well, you know, I've got this, woe is me. She got up and decided she was going to do something about it, didn't she?
Yeah, 100%. She was, I don't even know how to describe her personality. She was a go-getter. She was so positive about everything. When she was diagnosed, I didn't even know how bad it was. Like, it was stage 4. That is really bad. She was given a few months to live. I didn't even know, as her daughter, you know, in the same household, how bad it was because of the attitude that she had all the time. Like, she was diagnosed and she said, let's do this, I have kids, like, let's go fight this. And I took a lot from that, honestly, with my own life, with my Crohn's. But yeah, so after she was diagnosed, she founded Debbie's Dream. I think I told you a little bit about it before, but it was the first actual stomach cancer organization out there. So it was the first ever foundation dedicated to stomach cancer, solely stomach yeah. cancer, which was really awesome. And that was founded, I believe, in 2010, I want to say. So it was right after she was diagnosed.
Yeah.
She sat down at a table with my grandma and a few of her friends, and they said, let's kick cancer in the butt. For not only for her, you know, but for anyone with the diagnosis, anyone that needed the support, the community, really.
Brilliant. Yeah. So what sort of things did she do?
So I was pretty young initially when she started it, so I wasn't too involved right at the get-go. But after that, when I went to middle school, so I would say it was about 3 years after she started the foundation, I became really involved. So in middle school, I started the club with my brother, and it was the Debbie's Dream Youth School Club. So I went to youth school, and we just did little fun things. Yeah, it was cute. We were young. We were like 12. And we wanted to do anything, you know, to help our mom. Like, we worshipped her. So we would do, like, t-shirts, help out at all the Debbie's Dream events, just stuff like that. And then high school came around, and I started a club in my high school as well. Both clubs are actually still up and running because my sister and her friends took over the middle school one, and now they're in the high school one. So it's really cool to see our legacy is still, like, living on there. But, yeah, so in high school, we started doing a little bit more, like, grown up type of things. So there's this month, or not a month, it's a day that's dedicated to, it's called Be Bold, Be Bald. That's what it's called. Sorry, it's been 2 years. And we would all just wear bald caps, you know, to raise awareness for for any type of cancer, honestly.
Yeah.
But we would just wear bald caps all day, this one day. And it was really fun. Like, we just had fun with it all. But at the same time, you know, it was for an awesome cause. So after high school, I graduated. And I went to UF, and I was not involved with Debbie's Dream for a year and a half. And I went off to a new place. I was at UF, and it was hard for me to, I guess, get the ground running there. I just was so distracted by college and just being on my own for the first time, you know. So I didn't start the club until my mom passed away, and I became inspired and extremely motivated. I was angry, upset, and I just wanted to make a change. I wanted to, like, do something to help. I just needed to do that.
Yeah.
So after she passed away, I started the club at UF. So that was January. So the spring of my sophomore year, I don't know what year, I think 2017.
Right.
No, 2018. Yeah, January 2018. And that's when I became, like, extremely, extremely focused on Debbie's Dream. So for the next 2.5 years, so my the rest of my sophomore year, my junior and my senior year, I started the club at UF, and we gained so many members. I think we were over 100 members at one point.
Wow.
And we raised, like, tens of thousands of dollars for the foundation. We threw huge events, like, amazing events that I wish, you know, with COVID, unfortunately, we haven't been able to do them. Mm-hmm. But at the time, so we did a semi-annual, and it was awesome. I had Michelle, you know, Michelle.
Michelle's been a guest on my podcast before, yes.
Yeah, she is a really talented singer, and we had her come on to our events and sing. So it was incredible. We did like a Dream On for Debbie event. We did a Drinks for Debbie event. We sold a ton of t-shirts. We collaborated with this brand called Always True, best guys around, and they helped us out. And we did a collab with 2 years in a row, actually, on t-shirts. So yeah, we were doing a lot at UF. And then I started the club at UM because I'm doing my master's right now.
Yeah.
So I started at UM, and we haven't really been able to make headway there yet just because of COVID. Like, yeah. We've had so many ideas, and it's just we haven't been able to execute them, but maybe we will in the fall. So I'm excited.
Yeah. Yeah. Brilliant. So in the all the years then since your mum was diagnosed, which was 2008, we said. So that was what, 13 years ago?
Yeah.
How much money has been raised for stomach cancer? Do you know?
I'd have to check. I'm sure it's on their website, but a lot.
Yeah.
So in 2019, it says that Debbie's Dream funded a total of $1 million in just research grants since 2014. So that's the research grants. But in terms of overall, I'm not quite sure.
Okay. But millions anyway, it's going to be.
Yeah, millions.
Yeah, millions that she's raised. That's absolutely brilliant. And not only her, terms, obviously, the whole
group, yeah,
of you. Yeah.
I was going to say, in terms of expansion, I mean, Debbie's Dream has, I don't know the exact number, but they've expanded and they have so many chapters. So they have, let's see, they have a number on here. It looks like they have 32 chapters around the world.
Wow, that's brilliant. Okay, so what does the future hold then? Presumably Debbie's Dream now will just continue with or without you. It's, you know, it's out there, and it's got a life of its own, really, hasn't it, in your mum's memory?
You know, if I'm being quite honest, it's hard for me to watch Debbie's Dream without her, just because she was, you know, that driving force behind it. So,
yeah.
I mean, there are so many out, like, I praise the people that are involved now. I love them. They are the best. But it is hard because the future is unknown, I guess you can say, in from my eyes, without her there. I know that there are so many others that are so dedicated to the cause, too. I mean, I would, like, I'm involved still, my family, you know, the president, everyone that works over there, we're all like super invested. But without the initial founder, it's really hard for me to watch and think about the future. So,
yeah,
but I know it's looking bright, and there is definitely like a positive outlook for the foundation.
Yeah. I mean, I read, when I knew you were coming on the show, I read some articles about your mum, and I told you last time I saw a picture of her, and you can see the power and the just the energy that's in her in that one picture. She was absolutely beautiful. And I imagine, because I know she was a businesswoman herself, she had her own law firm. And I can kind of imagine, as a mum myself, that she would be wanting you to follow your own path. Yes, of course, you know, she wants Debbie's Dream to carry on, but she doesn't want you to tie yourself down to it. I imagine she would want you to live your own life and follow your own dream.
You know, there was a point where, so I actually went into undergrad pre-med. That was my dream since sixth grade. It was just, I love medicine. I love the human body. I guess my own battle with Crohn's, you know, drew me towards that. But then I kind of discovered that I'm so smart. I know that I could get through the schooling for it, but I just didn't want to. I didn't have that like motivation. And I knew that something else, like I would love something else more, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And she always, 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 you know, told me, follow whatever you want to do is yours. Like, you do what you want to do. And there was a time that I thought about even going to work for the foundation full time, because I love Debbie's Dream work, and I'm so passionate about it. And I was like, who else, you know, who else is going to do it? But then I discovered my passion for music, and I decided to get my master's in music business. And it was all so last minute. It was all my senior year where I was like, I'm not pre-med anymore. I'm going to do advertising and then I'm going to go to music business. I feel like that's how it happens for a lot of college kids. But yeah, no, she was always so, you know, supportive of me and whatever I wanted to do. And I know if she were here, she'd be proud and she would support me in, you know, the music business and whatever I wanted to do. So
yeah,
it's always in the back of my head.
And what about your father then? How is he?
Oh, he is also the best. He's super supportive as well. Growing up with both of them was amazing because they were always not only financially supportive, but they were always just there for me if I needed advice. If I, you know, my dad is always there for me now. If I call him up and I'm like, Dad, like, guess what? I got this job, or I need help, please. Like, I'm freaking out. I don't know what to do about this job or school, whatever it is. They've always been there. So I'm really thankful.
Excellent. And so if anybody's listening and they want to know more about Crohn's disease, or even, you know, have it themselves and want to have more information, where would you advise them to look? And can they contact you? I'm guessing you're going to be quite busy, but.
Yeah. So I actually have 4 jobs right now, but I love connecting with people. I love socializing. So if anyone wants to reach out to me directly, you can. My Instagram is RACHGUTT, and I'm on LinkedIn, also Facebook. And then you can email me at rachelgutman2@gmail.com. And then if you want to find out more about either of these things, Crohn's disease would be the CCFA. It's the Crohn's and Colitis Foundation of America. They are so awesome. They literally have everything on their website, every resource. They have a walkathon each year. They're very, very awesome, that foundation. Very reliable too. And then about for stomach cancer, you can always go to the Debbie Stream website. So that's debbiestream.org.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Is there any message that you would like to leave listeners with?
So I thought about this a little bit. I think there's a couple that I wanted to talk about really quickly. The first one would be that lately I've been thinking, you know, with everything going on, you know, COVID and the hardship overall in the world right now, I think that it's been kind of tricky to realize, you know, before COVID, it was kind of hard to realize like what you have and how to be most thankful for it. But I think that it's important to just take every single day for granted, or not take every day for granted, yeah. Sorry. And I think the overall message of this is to just tell the people you love them. Words go a long way. You know, I think about this a lot. Like if I haven't called my grandparents in a few days, I'm like, oh my gosh, like I need to call them and tell them that I love them. And, you know, I think that that's so important, especially today. And then the other thing is, hold on, if we could pause for a second, because I wrote something down. So I wrote down earlier, I was thinking about it, and something that my mom taught me, just not even by, you know, talking to me or like trying to teach me this, but she just through her actions, through everything she like did with her life and Debbie Stream, is that you have to just with everything you do in your life, just have a positive attitude. And I think that, you know, manifesting things is such a huge thing nowadays. Like if not even nowadays, just always, it's been a huge thing. You know, my mom, she got diagnosed with stage 4 stomach cancer, was given 3 to 4 months to live, if that. And she said, no, I'm fighting this. I have kids. I have something to live for. I am not going. Like, I am going to fight this. And she did that. And she always had a positive attitude about everything. And I think that it's important for people to take a step back and to realize that positive attitudes go such a long way. And, you know, don't sit back and just do nothing. Like if you feel a certain way or you want to get something done, go do it. Like go out there and get it done. So, yeah, I think that's pretty much it. But two important like lessons I've learned through all.
Really, really important lessons. So firstly, the gratefulness, I totally agree with you with that. You do need to be grateful for everything and everyone that's in your life, because as we found in the last year, nobody knows what's around the corner. And, you know, at any time you could lose somebody through an accident, through an illness. We just don't know what's around the corner. So you need to be telling the people you love them all the time.
Yeah, life's too short. Tell people how you feel. Tell them you love them. too short. So
go for it. Yeah. Just open your heart and go for it. Yeah. And the other thing, the positivity. By the time this episode airs, the week before, I think it will be the week before, episode I do with a guest called Penny. She had breast cancer and she absolutely cured herself. She believes, obviously she had her medication, she had her chemotherapy, but she believes that she cured herself because she was so positive and she took the view that this is not going to finish me off. I'm here to stay. And that attitude, she said, pulled her through, where some of the people that she did her chemotherapy and radiation therapy with were very, very negative. And sadly, a lot of them didn't make it because they didn't have the same attitude. So yeah, you're absolutely right.
Amazing. Yeah. I talked about that a lot with Michelle recently. Also, we were talking about just manifesting things and how it's so hard. Like, I'm not sitting here and being, you know, a total like, do this. Like, sometimes I can be hypocritical. I mean, it's easy to get down about things, but I mean, it is so important and it is real. Like, if you sit and you try, just like attempt to have a positive attitude and outlook about life, about anything going on, I mean, it's going to happen. So,
and I also feel that things happen for a reason. And we don't know why the people that are chosen were chosen. But if you think about your mom going through what she went through and then losing her life, but all that she did, all the attention she's brought to stomach cancer, all the money she's raised and is still basically raising because she set the foundation up, how many people have that potentially saved? How many people have benefited from that?
I don't know if it's a number we can put on, you know, whether it's someone that has been directly affected financially by it or it's someone who has had a mental just shift in their attitude about things, or it's families that have been supported by Debbie Stream. Yeah, it's just, it's, I look up to her. I really do. I know her legacy will live on forever, and I hope to make some sort of impact on this world like she did.
Bless you. Bless you. Well, I wish you all the best for the future. I mean, you've been through so much already and in this short period of time. So I think you're really going to make your mark on the world.
And Thank you.
Best wishes and good luck for your MA next year. Keep your head down and work hard.
I appreciate it. I will.
And perhaps you'll come on afterwards and let us know how you got on. And keep
100%.
Definitely.
I'm looking forward.
Well, it's been absolutely brilliant talking to you. Thank you for coming on today. And all the you've told us, I'll put them all in the show notes so that people can get in touch if they want to.
Amazing. Thank you for having me.
Bless you.
Well, I hope you enjoyed listening to today's story. And as always, if you want to ensure you don't miss any future episodes, then please subscribe. And if you yourself have a story to tell, then please do get in touch with me. I'd love to hear from you. And until next week, take care of yourself, stay safe, and I will see you soon. Goodbye.